Hey everyone, it's Carmita, and welcome to Missing in the PNW. Once again, happy Hispanic Heritage Month, guys. This is episode 3 of the 4 episodes that I'm doing for Hispanic Heritage Month. And this one is a lot. I've been working on this one for a couple of months, and there's just a lot. So we're going to try to go through all of it, and I mean, I don't even know how to decipher some of this. Guys, this one was a lot, for real. This one took a lot out of me. So today we're going to talk about the disappearance of Sofia Juarez. So Sofia's case is a little different than some of the other cases that I covered because she just didn't go missing. The police already know that she was abducted. And you guys know we don't get a lot of cases like that. The only other one that I could think of was Tika Lewis. When I talked to her mom, like, Tika was kidnapped. And stranger kidnappings do not happen a lot. Sophia, she was abducted. Sophia was taken on February 4th, 2003. Which was just one day, guys, before her 5th birthday that she was so excited for. One day before her 5th birthday. That makes me sad. She was taken from Kennewick, Washington. Kennewick is just about 3.5 hours from Portland. It's in an area known as the Tri-Cities. And Sophia grew up in the Tri-Cities area. So there's this place, it's like, how do I explain it? It's probably like middle to eastern, like South Washington. And the Tri-Cities consist of Kennewick, Pasco, Richland, and then West Richland. So it's that whole like area right there. And I've heard that they're very like tight-knit, the communities there. I've never been up there, but I had an uncle actually that lived there once. But so the Tri-Cities is where, you know, she was familiar with it, even being so little. I mean, she grew up in that whole area. And at the time of her disappearance, she had lived with her mom, her grandma, and some of her aunts and uncles. She had some cousins too. On the night she disappeared, her grandfather, Jose, who was her mom's dad, was going to go to the convenience store and had asked Sophia and her cousins if any of them wanted to go. Initially, they all had said no, but later, Sophia had changed her mind and she decided that she did want to go. She asked her mom for $1 to spend at the store, and she was on her way. The big thing is what was not known by Sophia's mother or anyone else in the house was that by the time Sophia decided to go, her grandpa was already gone. He was already either halfway to the convenience store or at the convenience store. He was already gone. So this is why Sophia just left the house by herself. Everyone else thought that she went with her grandpa. Nobody thinks that she was just leaving. Her mom, she got the dollar from her mom, and her mom watched her walk out the door, thinking that everything was going to be okay. They didn't find out until later that, you know, the grandpa came home and was like, she's not with me. Like, what do you, you know, what's going on? So then that's when everyone kind of realized, like, oh my God, she's gone. Like, she walked out the house by herself. She wasn't with him. It was a lot. I could imagine it was very hectic. And then these right here, like, these numbers actually kind of surprised me a little bit. Because it was reported that, like, 8 minutes after realizing, it was very particular too, that's why I thought it was weird. But 8 minutes after realizing Sophia was gone, her mom had called the police. Then it was reported that within 3 minutes after that call, the police were already there. So again, like, you don't hear that a lot, especially now. But I just, like I said, I thought it was weird that they were just so particular about the minutes. I don't know if that's me just thinks that weird. Again, though, you know, Kennewick, that's supposed to be a tight-knit city. And they actually were. Yeah, they did a lot for Sophia, actually. But again, that's just like 8 minutes and then 3 minutes. It's just random times. Anyways, after all of that, you know, the officers responded. They ruled her disappearance as an actual abduction. How they came to that conclusion, I'm not sure. Because nowadays it takes a lot for anybody to get any type of like, oh my God, if they're, especially teenagers, they're always cast as runaways. And I mean, Sophia was 4. So just an hour after the cop showed up, like Sophia's name and her face was broadcast on local news channels. Like they were on it. Also, the FBI got involved in the search for Sophia. And the FBI, like, again, these numbers are just so crazy. Like an hour after she went missing, the FBI got involved. Like all of this just sounds like really weird. I don't know. Can you guys let me know how you feel? Because I feel like all of this stuff is just, everything's like too almost perfect of, I really hope it went like this, but everything just seems almost like too perfect of investigating a missing child case. But again, I don't know. That just might be me. So the people in her neighborhood, like I said, you know, tight-knit community, they actually formed their own search parties and worked with the police to look within a 3-mile radius of Sophia's home. So right from the get-go, there's people that, you know, they were out looking for her. And that was just, you know, that was just an hour after. In the number of days gone by, like it would just, the search parties would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, after just a couple of days, there was hundreds of people forming different search parties to check different areas. And then just hours after this, Sophia was put on the NCMEC, or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's website. And they had her up on their website pretty quick. Also, Sophia's disappearance was actually the very first time that Washington used an Amber Alert. It was the first Amber Alert that Washington had ever put out was for Sophia. Now, you guys, I talk about the Amber Alert. I talk about the Missing Indigenous Persons List, which obviously the Missing Indigenous Persons Alert came out, you know, just a couple years ago. But for her, it's so weird for me to say it. I'm not happy that she's missing, but I'm happy that she was a little Hispanic girl. Like, I'm happy that they at the time cared enough to put out an Amber Alert, because I've told you guys about this. The requirements for an Amber Alert are freaking crazy. Like, there's so much that goes into it. And so for them to trigger the very first one, like, I think that was really good on their part. And I'm just really sad that not, you know, any more information than what they already knew came out of triggering that Amber Alert. So again, the requirements for an Amber Alert, there's like 4 big things and they all have to like match, or they all, it's just, like I said, it's ridiculous. But just to give you an update. So one, it has to be a child under 18 years old who was like for sure abducted, like not a runaway, not like whatever, like they have to know that they were abducted. 2, the child is believed to be in danger of imminent death or serious bodily harm. 3, there's got to be enough descriptive information, such as like where the abduction occurred, a specific description of the child, description of the abductor, place last seen, description of the vehicle, stuff like that. And then the 4th one is the incident must be reported and investigated by law enforcement, and the child, suspect, and vehicle must be entered into the National Crime Information Center or NTIC. So in the 3 days following her disappearance, there were over 500 police personnel, including officers, FBI agents, dive and rescue team members, incident management, and they all helped look for Sophia. They also had wing aircraft, which I'm not sure like what that would be, but they had helicopters. They had thermal sensors on the helicopters. They even had the Coast Guard. Like, the Coast Guard even searched the nearby rivers and the sewer system.
Have you ever wondered what's at the root of homelessness?
I used to try to describe it to my husband that I said, I feel like I'm in this big spider web and I'm stuck in there.
And how wraparound approaches at missions aim to make a difference?
It's the things like that, the people who communicated that in spite of my rough edges, that they authentically cared about me.
On the Restorers podcast, we'll talk to experts, investigate current issues, share stories, and give you an inside look at how we at Water Street Mission tackle issues related to homelessness and poverty every single day. Join us by searching Restorers wherever you find your podcasts.
Everyone in Sophia's family was contacted and questioned, as well as sex offenders in and around the city. Now, they went all out. Like, the cops, I'm still just surprised at how much that they did and how much that they tried to do to help her, to find her. But it literally came down, like, they tapped phones. They obtained warrants. Like, there was multiple homes and cars that were searched. Like, they were really, really thorough on this. There's a couple of these that I'm going to tell you, like, I don't understand how they obtained warrants or tapped phones. It's just weird. But we'll get into that in a minute. So, this one, it was the first one that I thought was, like, a little off. But on February 8th, 4 days after Sophia's disappearance, the police searched the home of a mother, she was a mom of a convicted serial killer named Jeremy Sagastigui. Honestly, I don't care how to say his last name. I'm not even gonna lie. He's a piece of shit. He sexually abused, beat, and stabbed and drowned a 3-year-old little boy. So he's a piece of shit. I don't care. Anyways, so, for me, though, like, what doesn't make sense is that Jeremy was convicted and sentenced to death in 1995. That was 3 years before Sophia was even born, okay? Then October 1998, he died in the Walla Walla State Penitentiary by lethal injection, which Walla Walla, if you guys don't know, Gary Ridgway, there's a lot of famous, whatever, infamous killers up there in that stupid place. It was just like weird because in October of 98, Sophia would have been just 8 months old. Like, I get that he was a sex offender, but he was already dead. And I don't see why they felt the need to search his mom's house. But anyways, nothing came up, obviously. It's just, that was another thing about this case that stood out to me. And so a week after that, a candlelight vigil and a march was held for Sophia. There's about 300 people who had walked from her house to the nearby St. Joseph's Church. She also had a lot of, you know, like, outside support. In March of 2003, there's a NASCAR racer named Damon Lusk. He actually grew up in Kennewick, and he had a huge picture of Sophia. Like, I don't know if it was painted on or, like, it was a big picture of her, though, that he put on the trunk of his car. Sophia's case was also on America's Most Wanted 3 different times. The first one was about 3 weeks after she had disappeared. Then in September of the same year that she had disappeared, which was 2003, and then in March 2004 was the last time that her case aired on America's Most Wanted. Sophia's picture has been on the side of semi-trucks that travel in and around the Pacific Northwest. Kind of like how I told you guys in the Asia Wilbon case, Asia's face, like they partner with these semi-trucks, and these semi-trucks have big posters of the missing kids on the side of their trucks. And by the way, I saw one of those trucks for Asia. I think I was on my way back from shopping at the Woodburn Outlet. And I just happened to like look over at one of the truck stops on the way home, and or the weigh stations. And I saw her name and her face. And so I'm really still glad that she's getting, you know, the attention, at least that way. So then with, I mean, nothing found, unfortunately, in 2008, Sophia's mom had ended up moving to California, and she had another child. But unfortunately, Sophia's mom passed away in January 2009 from medical complications. I'm not sure if it was medical complications due to the baby she had or if there's something else going on, but that's what I found, as it was she died from medical complications. And, you know, she passed away before she got any answers. And it's sad. She just doesn't know, you know, what happened to her daughter. So in March 2021, the Kennewick Police Department dedicated a website for Sophia. I'll link that in the show notes. And then in June 2021, the police released not only a suspect description, but also a description of a vehicle. So let's go back really quick. As part of the Amber Alert, you have to have a description of the vehicle. Okay, that's number three on the list of four. I don't know if they knew about this vehicle there from a long time ago. If they did, why the hell would you not put that in the Amber Alert? And then if they didn't, like, I don't know. It's just, again, guys, it's weird. Like, this case is very, I don't know. But yeah, they ended up saying, oh yeah, we have a suspect and we have a description of the vehicle. They said it was from a highly credible witness. And I put that in quotation marks because I'm not even sure what that means. But that person had described the person that had kidnapped Sophia as a young Hispanic male who was between 11 and 14 years old. And this person apparently lured Sophia to a van that was light colored and either a 70s or 80s model with no windows. Which, what does that sound like to you guys? Kidnapper van. No windows, tan, white, whatever. That's, yeah. Yeah, no, stay away. And again, this is really one case that I just looked up so much. And this one, literally, you guys hear me all the time, like, they didn't do enough, or they should have did this, or they should have did that. I literally cannot say that, like, they didn't do their job. This is the one case which I can say that I don't believe there was a stone left unturned. They literally looked everywhere for her. And it's just really, really sad that with all of that work and all of that effort, she unfortunately, you know, hasn't been found. So, no, I mean, I hate to even bring this up, but it's very relevant. And I don't want to say that, you know, people use Sophia's case as clickbait, but they kind of did. And it's really, really messed up. But in the spring of 2021, there was actually a woman in Mexico who I guess they thought resembled Sophia. And let me tell you, that went viral fast. It was on TikTok. It was on, like, the internet sites, the police station, or not the police station, sorry, the TV newscaster stations. Like, it was a lot of people. And I've seen the girl, and I don't see why they would think she looked like Sophia looks like her. I don't know. But this lady was in Mexico, and she was in, like, a rehab place or something like that. But it just was like, I remember it just blew up something big. Like, oh my God, is it Sophia? Could this be Sophia? And then, of course, it wasn't. And it's just more heartbreak for the family. So officially in February 2022, they did do a DNA test and that woman was ruled out as being Sophia. I mean, I don't know why she would say something like that, do something like that, but I do think she was like mentally disturbed and she wasn't mentally all there. But it's just a really, really sad situation to use a little girl's case just to get like some type of attention. I don't know. I mean, Sophia was a typical four-year-old who loved cartoons and playing with Barbies. At the time of her disappearance, Sophia was 3 feet tall, weighed 33 pounds, and had dark brown hair and brown eyes. She also has a mole under one of her eyes, a birthmark on her lower back, and has her ears pierced. She is on NamUs, and there is a $10,000 reward for anyone who has information that leads to either Sophia or the person who took her. If you have any information, please remember you can stay anonymous, but please call the Kennewick Police Department at 509-582-1331. Now, again, I mean, I've been planning this episode for a while, and it was hard to try to get all the dates right and all that they did. It just seems like it was just... Again, I'm like super happy that they did all of this, but I'm also kind of a little annoyed because I don't see why they can't do all of this for every child that goes missing. Every Hispanic child, every Native child, every Black child. Like, they did a lot. And I just, again, they're going to say it's because of budget or they don't have enough people or blah, blah, blah. It's all just excuses at this point. But really, I mean, with Sophia's case, they did their job. They did. Yeah. So that's what I have for you guys. Like I said, I'll link the missing person case. I'll link the, Amber Alert, the Kennewick, Police Department website. All of that will be in the show notes and on Facebook. And then, of course, I'll upload, her picture. And then there is an age progress picture of her. I can't remember when it came out, but I know there's one, and so I'll link that too. So yeah, next episode, guys, is going to be the last episode for Hispanic Heritage Month, and it's, yeah, I mean, we're going to go right into Native American Heritage Month. So until next time, guys, just remember, have fun, but be safe.